escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. I love filling in for Mark Reardon on Fridays. This is my favorite day of week to do the Mark Reardon Show. By the way, I am Mike Elam. Just you're going, who the hell is that? So if you don't know who I am, you probably don't listen to this radio station anyway. So there you go. We have got the Friday Roundtable today, which I am very excited about having our crew. Jane Duker, who is here always on Friday. Hello, ma'am.
Here. It helps if I turn the mic on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been too long.
I know. I love the fact I get to be here.
You keeping everybody in line?
I'm trying.
Okay.
St. Charles is getting bigger every day.
Yeah.
So it gets a little tougher.
Unwieldy.
Tim Fitch is here, former St. Louis County Councilman and St. Louis County Police Chief. Hello, sir.
I'm wonderful, Mike. Thanks for the invitation.
I'm glad you made it here. And Jeff Rainford has made it in off the golf course, I'm assuming.
Well, I am off the golf course today, but Monday I was out in near Fair City at Bogey Hills. It was a beautiful day, beautiful place.
Bogey's a great course, isn't it?
It was fun.
We are going to get this conversation going on in just a little bit, but I wanted to dip in for a second. President Trump is in Texas. He's actually with Governor Abbott right now, and they're taking a few questions. We just wanted to dip into that real quick.
I, too, want to thank all the first responders, and we have many of our legislators over here. I want to thank them for stepping up and being here constantly, as well as state officials who join with us. And as we've said before, we remain committed. We're here for the long run. We will maintain our operations to search and find everybody that we can, as well as ensure that we're going to rebuild this community from Hunt to Camp Mystic to Kerrville down below. We are committed for the long run, not just to rebuild, but to rebuild in a better way. I have received a lot of detail, even from the president himself, about ways that we can do a better job in the rebuilding process. And we will put all of that to work. We have a special session beginning in 10 days when we're going to start working legislatively to make sure that we address every challenge that the people of this entire region, including the Central Texas region, make sure we help rebuild the families and communities of all of them. But we would not have been able to do that the way that we have had it not been for you, your commitment to Texas. I know you love Texas. And Texas loves you. We appreciate you showing up. And because of your swift and effective response, we're better positioned to deliver on all those commitments than ever before.
Thank you, Governor. That's very nice. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Christy, would you like to say something? Fantastic job you've done.
So that is President Trump, who's just kind of weighing in. I love that. Governor Abbott, you love Texas, don't you? I do. You got to love that part.
What's he going to say? No.
Exactly. Like, hey, Texas helped get me elected. I kind of love Texas. It works for me.
The nicer you are, the more money you get.
There you go. And in Texas, there's a lot of money to get. So that works out. So we'll start off with the fact of just kind of talking about this and being how things have worked out so far. There was a lot of blame going on of this. They're trying to, and some in the media, not saying everybody and not saying all Democrats, but saying that there is a push that's out there that says they're blaming President Trump for part of this, that what happened in Texas. Is that fair, Jane?
I mean, look, I think these disasters are horribly challenging for every elected official. I mean, we saw a snowstorm throw out a mayor. I mean, you just, you know, these things are really, really difficult to maneuver. I do think there is some. I think this whole idea of dumping more on the states as far as disaster recovery, I don't think is going to be a practice that's going to continue long in the long term because
so, Tim,
it's not feasible.
Just what he's done in the first 6 months since he's been gone for 4 years, this first 6 months caused this flood to happen in Texas. Think that's fair?
Absolutely not.
Oh, let's try a microphone.
Yeah, you just press on. Yeah, there we go. Oh.
At any rate, absolutely not. It's not fair.
No.
I will tell you, I worked the Joplin tornado. You remember
tornado? Oh, man, yeah.
160 people killed. We were down there, 26 county officers the day after the tornado. And nobody back then blamed it on the president. It's just interesting how things have changed.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, the state response in that was quite good. And Jay Nixon was the governor then.
Yes.
So it was quite good. So to think the states can't pull off disaster recovery, nobody's been to Joplin.
Not that they can't, but the money. I mean, the money, the federal government has the unique ability to charge and get more taxes. And I think that I'm not saying it's his fault that the flood happened. I'm saying, you know, the response and how quickly people were informed. And I mean, we had
that's not the narrative, though. The narrative is Trump is to blame for this because he did all these cuts and his cuts caused this to happen. That's why the emergency alarm didn't go off. That's somebody didn't push the buttons.
Yeah, I think that I also don't blame him for any aspect of this. However, I think this, this is a terrible pun, but I do think this should be a warning sign that we, rather than this Doge approach to taking a meat cleaver to government sort of like willy-nilly, that we really have to be thoughtful. And they need to be thoughtful at the federal, state, and local level, including here where the alarms didn't go off in the city of St. Louis during the tornado. You know, these storms are becoming bigger. They're coming together faster. There's less time to plan for them. So rather than, you know, sort of blanket cuts to the National Weather Service or to FEMA or to, you know, dumping it on the state governments or the local governments that don't have the means, I think we have to be really, really careful because there's a growing number of more powerful storms and these storms are happening with less warning. And so I don't blame him for what happened in this particular instance. But if, in fact, we don't learn from this and we don't not only not, you know, cut emergency preparedness, but we don't actually beef it up and we're smarter about it, I would blame him for that going forward.
So, Tim, you've had unique experience in this both as a county police chief and as a county councilman. So elected official and a police chief. A lot of this falls, I think, on local folks. Like, if you're going to do the emergency preparedness, it's on the local community to get together.
And you're going to be first. You're going to be at the scene first.
You should. Mm-hmm.
So you really have to take the ball and run with it. And the feds will come along later. But the local authorities are in the best position. So, Jane, you were talking about, you know, cuts. I haven't heard anything about, you know, cuts to funding. I've just heard that the FEMA would go away, but the funding would be passed on to the state.
I thought the blame was that there wasn't enough advance warning, which is more like the National Weather Service, the systems that are in place, and that kind of thing.
And that's a local issue there, that they didn't have sirens.
And they actually said they had excess staffing at the National Weather Service when it happened. They actually had more staffing than they would normally have, that the National Weather Service had staffed up for this disaster. It's just when you get that much rain that fast and the water rises literally 20 feet in 2 hours, I don't know how you stop that. You had to have made preparations for that before the disaster happened. When it happens, you're too far behind the curve.
This is what I think we have to start anticipating, is that there are going to be more of these storms that happen so fast that you're not going to have a lot of time. Now, I'm not an expert on the National Weather Service or what they need or what FEMA or the states need in order to be prepared in advance for, like in our case, when the tornado that happened just a little while ago, I left my house at 2:30 and everything was fine. By 3 o'clock, it was decimated.
Wow.
It came up that fast, right? And so it's nobody's fault. I mean, you can talk about climate change or whatever, but the reality is going to be that these storms are going to come together faster. And I'm not the expert on what has to happen, but we need to be able to predict these things and warn people faster and be more nimble, not less nimble.
Remember when the kids were drowned in the cave, Cliff Cave Park, years ago in South County?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another example of who would have thought while they were in there exploring this cave that this quick thunderstorm would hit the top of them and cause those seven deaths.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that?
That's the great point to talk about the fact, and I want to circle back to this on the other side of the break. If you're going to prepare for a disaster, the time to do that is today, not when the disaster gets here. When the disaster gets here, your window for prep is gone. And you've seen that as being with the city and preparing with that, with Francis and everything you had to do in the mayor's office to get all that done. And I want to circle back on the other side of the break and talk about our new mayor that we have in the city of St. Louis. How's she doing? I mean, we did the first 100 days of Donald Trump. Let's talk about the first 3 months of Kara Spencer and how has her administration been so far. I mean, you walked in, you had this disaster happen. I'll be curious to hear what all of you think. It's Jane Duker, it's Tim Fitch, Jeff Rainford. My name is Mike Elam. You are listening to The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doc. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Jane Duker is here as regular. Tim Fitch is here. And Jeff Rainford, we are talking national stuff. We're talking local stuff. President Trump is speaking right now down in Texas in talking with the folks about disaster relief. He wanted to wait, he said, before he went down there, because as you see with every president, when there's a natural disaster, when they first go in, if they go in too soon, they become more of a distraction than a help. So I appreciate the fact that, and even President Biden, I'll give him credit from the standpoint of he waited when some disasters happened, because when they roll in, man, it just offsets everything moving forward.
I would just tell you, having worked many presidential visits in my career, that's exactly right. You suck away all the resources when the president comes to town. It's not a good time to do it when the disaster's still unfolding.
It's good when they have staff around them and they're mindful enough to know that and say, hey, let's be a help. Let's not be a harm.
He was criticized, by the way, for not getting down there quicker.
Right. You should have been here right after it happened. Like, oh, yeah, that would have been helpful. What am I going to do? Put sandbags out? I don't know how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know, we got a new mayor. How do you think things are going in the city, Jeff Rainford?
I think she's off to a very good start. She's doing a great job with the tornado. It's unfortunate for everybody, mostly the tornado victims, but it's unfortunate for her, too, that happened and is distracting her from trying to repair the damage of the previous 4 years. I can tell you as a city resident that trash is being picked up, the debris is being picked up. The job they've done in removing the debris from Forest Park from our neighborhood is tremendous. I think we saw a big difference in the way the police department and Chief Tracy approached it when over the 4th of July weekend, the young kids mm-hmm. came downtown and were shooting off fireworks in the past. They just let them do whatever they want. That was not the case this time. I mean,
lots of arrest.
That's Chief Tracy doing it. And I get we're under state control, but he's also, you know, he could have been criticized by the mayor and the alderman, and he wasn't. So, listen, I wish that she could just focus on turning city government around. That's going to be a big job. She doesn't have anybody yet to run the streets department. That was, you know, one of the big failings in the last administration. But I think, you know, under the circumstances, I give her, you know, a minus. I think she's off to a good start.
Tim?
Agree, 100%. Our politics are different.
Yes.
Mine and Kara's.
Yeah.
However, I think, you know, what she's doing in the city is actually pretty commendable so far. And, you know, you really get to blame it on the last person that had the job for you for about a year.
Which is nice.
Yours.
Yes.
I haven't seen her doing that. She has been at every press conference in every neighborhood, at every church. So I think she's off to a great start. And I'll give her kudos also for establishing a good relationship with Jefferson City. Mm-hmm. With the Republican majority in Jefferson City, if you could do what she's doing, and that's mm-hmm. work with them,
yeah,
and not constantly just criticize and say it's your fault people are shooting people in the city of St. Louis, like we heard from the previous mayor, I think she's off to a great start.
Jane, I will tell you, I didn't know the former mayor. I didn't know the current mayor before she became mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten the chance to get to know her through mm-hmm. East West Gateway. So mm-hmm. we get together every month. So last month, we did, for the first time in a number of years, it seems, we did an all-day type thing from 10 a.m. until 3:30 of getting everybody together and kind of working through what can East West Gateway as a body do to help the region. And with everything that she has going on, it would have been easy for her to do a walkthrough or tap out and say, I got too much going on, I'm not going to be there. To her credit, she showed up,
yeah,
and she was there, and she was an active member of talking about all this. And I will tell you, former Mark Reardon Roundtable regular Donna Behringer has turned out to be a really good partner with her in getting stuff done. And I've been impressed that the mayor hasn't run away from anything. She has yep. stepped right up as soon as something happened and the alarm didn't go off. And she said, that should not have happened. We're going to make that work. Do you think she's being effective?
A complete change of tone. I mean, and that, I think, really goes a long way. I mean, not blaming everybody else. She's just like, look, we had a problem. It was wrong. I thought she was transparent about
yeah.
the alarm. That could not have been easy, but she did it. I think she's very present with, you know, the victims, with people in the city, with the media. I think that is all good as well. I think her response to the storm has been good. I think the relationships that she's already developed in Jeff City have already paid dividends,
mm-hmm.
and that will continue because, you know, it used to be, oh, you don't care about St. Louis, you know, and they do. And $100 million of state money is coming to the disaster relief. There is zero chance Tashara Jones would have gotten that money from the Missouri legislature. Zero. So that right there is a huge kudos. I have to echo a little bit of what Jeff said, that, you know, the tornado is not, I don't want to say a distraction. That's not, it's an absolute duty. But you have to multitask. And the problems within city government
right.
are charging on. And so that's the harder part. I mean, I agree with Jeff that, you know, fundamentally sort of changing the way government works is going to be exceptionally challenging. And it's going to take a lot of finesse, a lot of work. And I just haven't seen the focus. I haven't really heard. I mean, I, you know, the 4th of July thing and all of that,
right.
that's fine. Great PR. I'm all for it. But we still have a fundamental problem. We're still 400, you know, police officers short. And the bottom line is, while they were able to arrest a bunch of juveniles, if you talk to the police officers on the street over the weekend, it was still bedlam. They just had better marketing on it. And we don't have enough police officers to keep crowds safe when you invite them downtown. The goal, I hope, is to have more people coming downtown, coming back to downtown, going to events. And, you know, it was not crowded. And we still had mayhem. And it's because we just, you know, the presence, you know, we're doing a lot of reactive policing. I would rather have a police officer than a camera every day of the week. Finding out who did it is great, and accountability hopefully happens. But with better police presence, we can deter some of this stuff.
What do you think, Jeff?
I think that the last it really wasn't just the last 4 years, a good chunk of the previous 4 years, the entire apparatus of city government, including the police department, was not well managed, was very poorly managed. And that's why, like I said, it's really unfortunate for Kara and us city residents. Not only, again, I'm always going to say it, the humanitarian aspect of the tornado, but also the fact that it's taking up so much of everybody's time that they... I do agree they have to multitask, but there are still are only so many hours in the day, and emotionally there's only so much that you have in you that I would, you know, I think it's unfortunately going to take a little longer to fix everything. But I will tell you the basics, or as a city resident, the basics are working. You know, they are picking up the debris, they're picking up the trash. And I would say that, you know, she had her first political test with this election to fill her own old seat. And it was really basically, I know Megan Green doesn't want to say so, but it was Kara Spencer against Megan Green. And the voters in that district, who are not exactly, you know, conservatives, you know, reputed Megan Green and overwhelmingly defeated or overwhelmingly elected the candidate supported by the mayor. So I think that she's off to a good start. I think the task ahead of her, it's really hard. Tim said you have a year. I always figured you had 100 days. But whether it's 100 days or a year, it's really hard to turn around 4 to 6 to 8 years of neglect of an organization and turn it around as quickly. And then you throw the tornado in. And I think it's just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
You know, Tim, Jane was talking about we're short on officers. And I think everybody, because this was one of the resounding things that came back as a theme at East West Gateway in June when we were talking, was we've got to get crime under control for the region, and it starts in the city. What are you hearing from a law enforcement perspective? How are things going?
Yeah, that's a great question. Just last week, and I was at a retirement party at County Police Headquarters, and I saw the person that's in charge of recruiting for the County Police, and I said, how's it going? What kind of results are you seeing? He said, it's like night and day. It's like we just flipped a light switch, the number of applicants coming in to apply.
Wow.
He said, I wouldn't have told you that until recently. But you're really starting to see that now. And I said, okay, so what's causing it? Multiple things. The community and the nation as a whole is more law and order oriented.
Right.
So people are willing to go into law enforcement. Absolutely. So that pendulum that I've seen in my 63 years on this earth, it's gone back and forth and back and forth. It's finally
going back. That's human nature.
It's going back towards support of law and order.
That's
good. And you're seeing people saying, okay, I'm willing to step up and do it. Now, I think the same thing's going to happen in the city of St. Louis.
I hope
It already did. I mean, we saw it with the election. Not only did the incumbent lose, but the incumbent was slaughtered, and the number one issue was city services. The number one issue of city services was crime. We argue back and forth about whether the police were effective last weekend, but, you know, nobody was speaking out against it. There was no citizen response to it or anything. I can't speak for every city, because New York is kind of seems like they're losing their minds. But I've been reading about San Francisco, and it's the same thing. There's, you know, even the liberals and the progressives are like, you've got to keep our streets safe, and we can't have mayhem on our streets. And I think that is the feeling of the overwhelming number of people in the city. And if that's what the police need to be empowered, is that the citizens say enough is enough. Well, I think that the citizens of the city of St. Louis and other American cities are saying enough is enough.
And I did NYPD's accreditation assessment. And I will tell you, there's no secret to how they do policing in NYPD. It's about numbers. Cop on every corner type numbers. 53,000.
Presence.
53,000. And they're everywhere you go. You go walk through Times Square. I was there in June. Cops are everywhere.
Now, I was there 3 weeks ago.
How effective they are in solving crime is a different argument than presence.
Correct. But presence is deterrence.
But it sure makes tourists feel good about coming, you know, going to Times Square.
I want to talk a little bit about New York on the other side. It's funny that we ended up right there, because
an anomaly.
It's interesting to see Is New York a foreshadowing of what the Democratic Party is going to become, or is that a one-off? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Jane Duker, Tim Rainford, or Jeff Rainford, Tim Fitch. I'm talking too fast. Slow down. Breathe. Here we go. Sue's got traffic on the other side. It's 97.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. The roundtable is here. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, Tim Fitch. Tim, you said you did some work with the New York Police Department. Jane said you were just in New York. Is New York going to be a socialist place after this?
If they don't watch it, they will be. I mean, I wish I could say with certainty that the National Democratic Party isn't going to go the way of New York. But I don't know. It's not clear. But I think voters are speaking. I think, you know, St. Louis is a very good example. You know, Cori Bush, Tashara Jones, I think Megan Green could be in trouble. I think that people are reacting. I think, frankly, one of the reasons that Donald Trump got elected was because of crime. And I think, you know, if Democrats do not get a grip on what the voters want and need and come up with a message that isn't crazy, we're going to be in trouble. I do tend to think it's an anomaly. I mean, you know, the candidates available in New York are terrible. I mean, that matters.
That was an interesting election in terms of the people that you had to pick from. But the other thing that I think is interesting, and the Missouri legislature got rid of this in the last session, ranked choice voting played a big part in this election where they kind of gamed the game, if you will. Like, they figured out, hey, only put me or my buddy. Don't rank anybody else. Don't vote for all the choices that you could have. So, Tim, is it a good thing that we don't have ranked choice voting in Missouri?
Wasn't there a carve out for the city?
Yeah, we do in the city.
There was a carve out for the city.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So, the city could still have it.
The city could still run into this.
It's not great. Yeah.
But in New York, for example, you know, the biggest concern I have is what happens with crime when you have a very far left progressive mayor.
Yeah.
Does it end up like San Francisco? I think that would be a suicide mission for this guy if he gets in. I also think we can't write off Eric Adams. We cannot write him off.
I don't think you can, because given the choices, I mean, you can't say.
He's running as an independent.
He is.
Yeah. And you just, I mean, I think people are scared and he has a good chance.
Jeff, do you think the Democrat wins, or do you think Adams has a shot to come back in this?
You know, I don't know enough about it, but it's really difficult in a Democratic city or a Republican state for an independent or, you know, somebody off the ballot or write in or whatever to win. So I'm going to presume that the Democratic candidate will win. But I don't see this, even though it's the biggest city in America, I don't see this as this is the direction of the party. You mentioned San Francisco. So the new mayor of San Francisco is a moderate who is like, you got to clean up the streets. And that's what he's doing, including some things, some very Republican sounding ideas. And the situation in New York was a weird one. So you had the incumbent mayor who was probably lucky he didn't get indicted, mm-hmm. except for the deal he made with the administration. Mm-hmm. Then you have a former governor who had to, you know, leave politics, you know, under.
Who's another one who's lucky he didn't get indicted.
Who's lucky he didn't get indicted. And then you have this young guy who got these, you know, got young people who they do deserve to vote. Everybody about, you know, 18 deserves a vote. But as Churchill said, you know, any young man who's not a liberal has no heart, and every old man who's not a conservative has no brain. So you've got all these young.
So there's hope for you to come around, you know?
So it could, what I'm getting at, that's a long-winded way of saying it could just be one of those localized situations that is only a reflection of the localized situation.
Where do you think the party's going to go, though? I mean, when I'm starting to look at who's going to be the leader of the Democrat Party, AOC keeps coming back up, right? And you have Bernie, who's still there. And they have the energy in the party. And as a Republican, I would love for that to be the face.
Yeah,
Tim, I think
that.
We sweep if that's the case, don't you?
Yeah, it'll be a very... By the way, if he gets elected, this socialist governor or socialist mayor of New York, if he gets elected, the Republicans are going to say, he's your leader.
Oh, by all
means. This is your leader,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
This is your Democratic leader. Why don't you just run for president and have AOC as your vice president?
Well, I think there's a good shot that AOC is going to run for Senate.
Well, AOC is going to run for something more than what she's doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there's this new book out called Abundance, which is
Abundance.
Sort of Abundance.
Okay.
And it's really a Democratic. It's written by progressive liberal, two progressive liberal guys. And really what it is it is about a moderate Democratic approach to solving problems like the lack of affordable housing, the bad infrastructure, things like that. And so it seems like we are going to have at least one candidate in the bunch who's basically going to run as sort of a technocrat, somebody who's going to say, you know, I'm running to solve your problems. I'm not running so that women can use, you know, men's bathrooms and things, the weird stuff that we ran on, you know, during the Biden administration, but that we're going to be Democrats. We're going to be for big government. We're going to be for government intervention, all that. But it's for government intervention to solve your kitchen table issues, your job, inflation, infrastructure, and the lack of affordable housing. And so I don't know how Democrats will feel about it. Maybe they'll look at that and go, that's just Republican light. But you will have somebody in the Democratic, a Democratic candidate who's going to be like that, you know, versus Bernie or AOC or somebody on the far left.
And it always comes down to the primary. Can someone like that get out of a big primary? I mean, it's happened recently. I mean, you know, they had to move to the middle. I mean, so I think that will start happening, because I hope at some point Democrats will be sick of losing. And at that point, you have to, you know, I listen to Rahm Emanuel and I'm like, you know, a lot more people ought to be listening to him. You know, he may be brash, but, you know, this centrist and this idea of, you know, getting back to core, let's just get services done well and let's just do what we know government can and should do and do it well and then go from there. I mean, I thought that resonated tremendously in the city of St. Louis. And I think Democrats are ready for competence as well.
Well, talking about local elections, let's look at St. Louis County. So Maria Chappelle Nadal has said that she is going to challenge Rita Days. Tim, you've sat on that council. What are your thoughts on
And Ella, what's her name?
Jones.
Ella Jones from Ferguson. The mayor of Ferguson is also in.
Oh, Ella's going to be in this too.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
That's going to be
Well, for the incumbent, the more the merrier.
Exactly.
This is true.
Exactly.
I was kind of thinking about
Ella Jones is the Sam Page candidate.
That's right.
And Maria's Maria.
Yeah. And Maria and Rita are both good friends of mine, and I think yours too.
Yes.
I like them both, but they did have a falling out, and Rita fired her. And Maria sued and got a settlement from St. Louis County. And so there's bad blood there, no doubt about it. I think that's Maria's reason for running.
I started to say, do you think that's the genesis behind this?
No doubt.
Okay.
And then I think Sam Page wanted Ella Jones, the mayor of Ferguson, to run against Rita.
Because Rita and Sam are not on the same page anymore.
He put a candidate against Rita the last time.
Yes. She slaughtered him.
But I think, just like Jeff said, you know, I think Maria and the mayor of Ferguson will split the vote, and Rita will win.
So this is where Sam is just too smart for his own good. So this is all good for Brian Williams, the senator who's going to run against Sam and who's from North County.
I know. That's the thing I keep wondering.
I think he will.
He is.
You're asking me. I'm a betting
woman. He's already going to have a very spirited race in his own Senate district. That'll bring voters out.
Yes.
Now, Sam puts a candidate in against Ritta. That'll bring voters out. All of this bringing voters out in North County is good for Brian Williams and bad for Sam Page.
I think that's Sam's fundamental. His fundamental problem.
I don't count that as being too smart.
No, he thinks
he's clever with these things.
Well, he always thinks he's clever.
He always thinks he's clever. They're obviously not smart. And he thinks that he has North County and against Brian Williams. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, think about this: those Democrats are going to duke it out in the primary, and they're all going to be broke at the end of it. And now along comes Dennis Hancock, who's going to announce next month that he's going to run officially.
I thought he already had.
He's going to have a kickoff next
month. Oh, okay.
I only know that because I'm his treasurer.
Oh, there you go.
So at any rate, so he's going to come in with money where the other three are going to be broke coming into the general.
Brian won't be broke.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well,
I'm
Brian,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brian won't
many,
be broke.
The problem for Councilman Hancock is too many county residents have found greener pastures in St. Charles County, and there just aren't enough Republicans left. Now, again, Sam, maybe he could make it close against Brian, assuming Brian runs a good campaign in the primary. I don't see it.
I mean, if Brian gets in, when he gets in, I think he will slaughter Sam, and I think it will be a challenge for Councilman Hancock. But I'm glad he's there in case lightning strikes, and there will be a normal Republican who can work with everyone. You know, in the pipeline.
To Tim's point in that, though, we said, is Brian going to run? Is Brian the only one who's going to run? Or are you going to have other people? I had heard rumors that other St. Louis County Council members, Democrats, may throw their hat in the ring to run against Sam.
Yolanda Webb?
I think they'll work it out.
They'll work that out.
Yeah, I don't. Absolutely. You know, it's been off and on.
Yes.
Yeah. Talking to her and her husband. It's been off and on. But I think my guess is, I think there's more value to having her stay in that council seat in the council district and maybe in the future. But I think this is, on the Democrat side at least, this is going to be a battle between Brian, if he runs, and Sam Page.
Now, given some of the silly things Sam does, it wouldn't shock me if a Steve Williams runs or something like that. But I don't see any major, well-known, high-profile Democrats running.
Yeah, no, I think the Democrats will actually get it together on this one. They're done. I think people are done with him, and I think that people are coalescing.
I have good friends that are getting called constantly by Sam Page. Talked to one yesterday. He said, Sam called and said, hey, we haven't been together for a while. He says, I've never been together with you. You know, so Sam is doing his best to raise money right now, and he's not getting it.
He's not getting it. And that's
really?
That's a big deal.
Do you think he's going to find another Brian Williams to put in the race?
It might not be Brian. It might be Steve or Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we ended up with a mayoral change in St. Peter's way back when, because we found a similar name candidate who hopped in the race, and voters weren't sure who to be voting for as they move forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess people could try to play tricks, but again, he'll try to be too clever by half. I heard his latest is he thinks, Tim, you'll appreciate this. I heard he thinks he gets to appoint the county auditor, even though the charter is very clear that the county council does it. So, you know, there's going to be another lawsuit of, you know,
well, that went so well for him in the county prosecutor.
Right. I know. It's like, you know, and meanwhile, there's plenty of things that need to get done in St. Louis County that aren't getting
done. And they're broke.
And they're, I mean, and yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, the budget deficit is real and it needs to be taken care of. And
Is that money going to come from?
Well, he wants a tax increase. I mean, he is jonesing. He wants to build a $650 million government center, which I see zero appetite for from the voters or anyone else for that matter. He keeps expanding and getting into new programs while there is a deficit. It cannot happen.
Wait till you see the senior tax freeze really come crashing down.
In what sense?
In the sense that they're not ready to implement it.
The director of revenue, his director of revenue, you know, he resigned the day the applications were due.
Hey, let me tell you, as somebody who is the first county in the state of Missouri to put the senior tax freeze into place, it's a major pain in the patoot.
Yep.
Michelle does a fantastic job. Michelle McBride, who's the county collector in St. Charles County, has done yeoman's work in putting this together, because my point of this has always been, when the legislature passed it, I called it a half-baked pie that they dropped on the counties of the state of Missouri with no instructions on how to finish baking it. What was that pizza place? You could go get a pizza that was done half-baked. And then you finished.
Panera's?
Yeah, well, there's all kinds.
You finish baking the pizza place at home, right?
Right.
But they had instructions. Go to 350, cook it for 20 minutes. This is how it needs to go. We got none of that as a county. And it is really hard to put all that together because you don't know how much staff you're going to need. You don't know how long you're going to need. Michelle had to figure it out because no other county had ever done it. And
well, St. Charles differs from St. Louis County in that St. Charles actually wanted to implement it. Sam Page has had zero desire.
Fought it every minute.
He has fought it. So that makes it a big problem because, he doesn't want it to happen. So as many roadblocks as he can put up, which is really starting to frustrate voters.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about some news that happened with the Blues yesterday. A name that is synonymous with St. Louis hockey is no longer going to be with St. Louis hockey. And I didn't see that one coming. I don't know about you. My name is Mike Elam, Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, Tim Fitch, all sitting around on the Reardon Roundtable today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. You know, these breaks are quick these days. As soon as you get an in-studio conversation going, the music starts playing and you come right back. Which is sad to some point because I really enjoy the off-mic conversations.
They're always good.
All the stuff you can't say on the radio, but you wish you could. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, Tim Fitch is here. So the news came out yesterday that FanDuel is making some changes. Ethan could probably tell me more about this. I don't know how closely you guys have been following this, but all of a sudden I find out no John Kelly.
Yeah, John Kelly will. The Blues did not renew his contract, so he will no longer be the TV voice of the St. Louis Blues. The Blues and FanDuel Sports Midwest will now be simulcasting the 101 ESPN broadcast on TV. So Chris Kerber and Joe Vitale will now be both the radio voice and the television voice of the St. Louis Blues.
So no more Kelly associated with hockey. And I think that goes. Didn't Dan Kelly go all the way back to 67?
My entire life. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was born in 65. So yeah.
I think he was there when the Blues franchise started in 67.
Yes. I believe that's true. And so
is this about money? What do you think, Ethan?
It's always about money.
Is it about money?
Gosh. I mean, I don't know how it ends up being anything else. We're seeing some teams move in this direction, right? Where, you know, they're trying to save money where they can, and yeah, like you said, Jane, consolidate. I don't know what else the reason would be. I mean, with a guy like him who's been around as long as he is, I don't know what the reason would be outside of money.
And I love Kerber. He's great. I love Chris Kerber.
He's one of the best radio broadcasters in hockey. It's
amazing.
Without a doubt.
And so, you know, it just seems, you know, strange to me. You know, the way St. Louis is. I mean, St. Louis is such a provincial city. I mean, people are going to miss him.
People are not happy.
People are not happy.
Yeah. They have made it known online. They are not happy.
Know, what do you
times,
think, Jeff?
The times changed, right? So a few years ago, not that long ago, the designated hitter in the National League over my dead body, and
right.
Now it happens. I mean,
right.
Times
and then
times
people
change.
Get over it. Yes. Yeah.
And people will get over it. And as a fan, if this, you know, if it's about money, this ownership group led by Tom Stillman does not take the money and stuff it in their pockets. If this means we could afford a better number six defenseman or something like that, and we're in a mid-market and all that stuff, then, you know, I certainly don't feel good about a guy losing his job. I'm not happy about it from his standpoint. But as a fan, you know, they got to do what they got to do to put a winning team on. Because I can tell you, Tom Stillman only wants one thing, and that's to win a cup as soon as possible. And there is no other consideration.
Yeah.
Do you think, Tim?
I agree. It does come down to money, but how much money are they going to save? I don't know what they were paying him. But
I have no idea.
In the scheme of things, was
I don't have that.
Is that
answer.
Enough you could put to a player? I mean, really?
Well, certainly won't be a number one center or something.
Yeah.
But, you know.
we're not looking for Chris Pronger reborn out of this money that we're saving.
Speaking of Chris Pronger, they are also making some changes. The pregame show is now going to be a little bit different. It'll be extended pre and postgame, I believe. And Jamie Rivers, who was the color analyst with Kelly the last couple of years, he took over for Darren Pang. He will be moving now to the pre- and post-game show. Scott Warman will be a friend of the show, will be hosting. Chris Gerber, also a friend of the show. But Scott Warman will be the host of the pre- and post-game show.
Love them both.
Analysts will be, let's think, Bernie Federico, Chris Pronger, and Jamie Rivers, I think, will all rotate.
So they're Pronger's role.
So, yeah, I got a question for you. So I haven't filed this. Are we going to be able to stream and pay for and stream the St. Louis Blues only? When will that happen? Like right now, you have to buy the NHL package.
Right.
And
well, right
they
now,
black out at the home game.
That changed this year. That
so
changed this
now?
Year. Yes, you can. FanDuel Sports Network now has now is set up to where you can purchase packages to where it is solely streaming. There's no blackouts. You can do it for month by monthly or by year.
But is it can you get St. Louis Blues only?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's St. Louis Blues only, but it's set up by the season, right? Where you can get like, okay, if you're paying for that month and it just happens to be that it's October and the Cardinals are wrapping up their season and the Blues are playing, you get both.
Yeah. So I have a question. It kind of goes back to when you saw the Cardinals start making some changes with their announcer teams over the years. At St. Louis just has a very close tie with their voice people.
They do.
And the people who are there, they are in the fabric of the game. Does it really matter at the end of the day? But probably not. It just feels like it's one more thing that slips away and you lose that connection. Maybe it's just me, but when you lose that connection of that voice being there, I mean, when Jack died, that was... You had to have that, right? And then Shannon started pulling away.
No one would have fired Jack Buck.
No. Well, and that, you know, you had
what, though? We see this in other industries in St. Louis. Whoever thought AB InBev would be running Anheuser-Busch?
I know.
Right.
It's the same emotional feeling about our businesses and our hometown teams. It's the same thing.
From a business model standpoint, I agree with Jeff. It really doesn't make that big a deal. But it's just one of those other things that St. Louis feels like we're missing something. Like it's going away. And I could just be a homer.
I mean, your whole business is changing. Terrestrial radio versus podcasting versus other things. And in some sports, I think baseball, they don't even send their announcers on the road anymore. They watch the game from
that's
a
correct.
Local studio.
Yeah. I believe the Angels do that.
Right.
I believe the Los Angeles Angels do that.
Well, and that started with COVID. And
yes. Some teams just didn't go back.
After. Yeah. My son, John, that actually worked out great for him because he works in trucks now. When a visiting team comes in for hockey, he gets to sit in the truck and he works with a producer back in the other city. And they take a clean feed from the Blues game and they send it to them and they throw their graphics on top of it. And his whole job is to sit there and say, hey, coming up at the next stop, we're going to cut to this. So you're going to have to do a fill and blah, 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 blah. And he gets paid like $800 to go a game to go do that.
Fun.
So I love that for my son. But it just kind of says
the reason I asked whether you could stream just the St. Louis Blues games is we are all learning we want to watch what we want when we want to want it, and it often gets to be very, very specific.
It does.
And if I'm it's not my expertise, but if I'm a sports organization, I'm working towards that, and I got to line up my ducks to be able to give the fans what they want, and this could be an element of that.
Well, and we still have Kerber and we still have Warman and we still have a lot of familiar faces. So hopefully, and they're great. It's, you know, it's not like they're giving it to, you know, chumps. I mean, these are great
right.
people. So, but yeah, you know, change sucks.
It does.
It just
does.
You know?
That is the quote for the day. Jane Duker, change sucks.
And John Kelly has handled this like a pro's pro,
yes.
No surprise there. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't expect anything different.
He's going to be okay. He has already said that, you know, his journey through hockey is not over. So I imagine that he's going to be calling games somewhere else. He should be. He is one of the best broadcasters, not only in hockey but in sports. He's going to be okay. But we are most definitely going to miss him in St. Louis.
Yep. So, do we think the Cardinals have any shot of actually doing anything for the rest of this year with a minute to go, Jeff?
No, if I were they, I would be playing for next year, the year after. I would trade our closer, Helsley, if we could get a player or two who will play in the next year or the next 2 years.
Tim?
I'm embarrassed to say I have not been to one game this year.
I have been to one, and it was an EDC day at the ballpark, and I didn't watch any of the game. Go figure. I stood around and talked to people for an entire day.
Yeah.
I drove downtown and talked to a bunch of people from St. Charles.
The whole season. So, yeah, that was fun.
What did you do?
The best that Dodgers game, the best.
The walk-off?
The best game of the year.
The best time I had at Busch Stadium all year long was going to the Jelly Roll and Post Malone concert.
That was so much fun.
That was a great time. It's the Reardon Roundtable. A very special thank you to Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, and Tim Fitch for being here. Jane's going to hang out with us a little bit longer, which I'm very excited about since we haven't got to see each other for a while. So hang tight. Sue's got traffic. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.